You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast presented by SportsbookWire.com. What an episode we have for you. Today we're going to recap the 2021 Masters. We're going to look ahead to next year's Masters. I'm also going to talk about the short life and death of my Denver Nuggets to win the Western Conference ticket or future that I gave out last week. Also have some MLB best bets that we're going to talk about. And Eston's got some NHL futures. Also, football's back. Not really. It's not really back, but the NFL draft is in 2 weeks, and our sponsor, BetMGM, drafted a whole bunch of NFL futures for us to handicap. Speaking of which, let me shout out our sponsor, BetMGM. They're operational in 10 states. They have an awesome user-friendly mobile app. So all of our listeners in Colorado, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Iowa, Tennessee, Nevada, Michigan and Virginia, be sure to check out BetMGM's sports betting app and any brick and mortar locations that are in your area. I know more states are opening up. I can't keep up with the spiking legalization of sports betting around America, and it's an exciting time for everyone, especially BetMGM, and they do a great job of giving a whole bunch of actionable and lines for every single sport, so be sure to check them out. But let me bring in the co-host of the Shindig, my gambling consigliere, handicap and hype man, the sharper half of this duo, Eston McLaren. Eston, what is up?
Hey, Jeff. No, Masters is over. That's okay. I'm going to move on and, we have a full year to look ahead and hopefully learn from some mistakes. And boy, were there a lot last year. I can't wait to break that down. And yeah, you mentioned it, NFL draft coming up. We're going to talk about that next week or maybe the week after. Lots to talk about there. But yeah, the NFL betting markets have expanded, almost exponentially since we last discussed the NFL at all, even. So looking forward to talking about that this episode. And yeah, as you say, we have NHL, NBA, and MLB to touch on as well. It's a multi-sport extravaganza this week. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this might be the heaviest rundown we've ever had, and I feel like it's going to be a pretty lean show. I'm excited to get into it. Like you said, baseball, hockey, basketball, football. It's exciting. But first, let's start out with the 2021 Masters, a little post-mortem, and a look ahead to the 2022 Masters. I put in 4 outrights, all of which choked. Didn't really do any other Masters betting, head-to-heads, first round leader place, top player groups. I didn't do any of that. I'm gonna try to get into that into the next major, which I believe is the Players Championship,
PGA Championship, yeah, and then the U.S. Open, and then the Open Championship from there. So back to a standard PGA Tour major schedule this year, and yeah, better hopes for the next 3 than we had at Augusta National. Props to Hideki Matsuyama, opened at plus 4,000, was plus 4,000 April 1st. He pulled it off. Japan's first men's major golf championship. Just one of those bets in that middle range. Nothing too appealing about it. Nothing too egregious about the price. Just one that, wasn't an overly attractive price. And not a whole lot of people had it. 3.2% of the money was on Matsuyama at BetMGM. Congrats to those people. Oh, this is the guy, he's played the Masters, played against the National many times. No excellent results, just steady, top 20, top 30 finishes. Good on him. And yeah, just one of those bets that, you kick yourself over. You can't feel too bad about it. Good for him.
You didn't have him in any of the top like Asian player or head to head matchups? You didn't have him anywhere in your Masters portfolio?
No, that would have been the place, would have been, you know, top rest of the world prop would have been the spot for me to grab Matsuyama. I really wish I had. I had looked at it. But yeah, it's a tough one. You missed out a little, or we all missed out a little bit there. But hey, that's take lesson. And, you know, my biggest lesson coming out of this is to invest more in these prop pools, you know, all these group bets, what have you. That's where my few wins were this year. I had Robert McIntyre as top lefty at top 400. That was a pool. You know, Phil Mickelson goes by lefty. That's obviously where everyone's putting their money every year, even though he's not as good as the rest of these guys anymore. So there's a good value at Robert McIntyre plus 400. And then shout out to Tim Schmidt on our Masters special last week, talking about Charles Osborne as top amateur plus 450. I was lucky enough to get in on that after listening to Tim. You know, personally, I'd never heard Charles Osborne before that episode. So anyone else Tim helped out, you know, give him a follow on Twitter. It was a great pick to get on him.
You, I had my outrights were just complete chokes. I sucked. I took Justin Thomas on the strength of Tim Schmidt's word, because he picked the he picked Dustin Johnson, excuse me, to win the 2020 Masters, an impressive debut showing on Bet Slip and Podcast. So I had to roll with the homie on that one. Then the other picks that I made are just goofy fan, little knowledge and just fandom pick. So I took Patrick Cantlay, who's a Long Beach guy, at plus 1960. He missed the cut. I took Patrick Reed at plus 2740. He was tied for eighth. The reason for that is because I know he's really good. I always see him up top the leaderboards, and I know everyone hates him. So like, I figured the value is that no one really wants to bet this guy because no one's rooting for him. And I heard other sports gambling, like producers or whatever, sports gamblers talking about how it seemed like a lot of the handle, a lot of the bets people are making on the Masters are what they wanted and wasn't really data-based. So that kind of went into my thinking with taking Patrick Reed. Then I took Morikawa, who I believe was the 2020 U.S. Open champion?
PGA Championship winner.
Yeah, okay. Got him at plus 2940. He tied for 18th. So not a very good showing in my first golf major betting portfolio or stab that I took. You have some takes or some ways you're already handicapping the 2022 Masters. Can you talk to us about that for a second?
Yeah, just a few bets that I placed as soon as these odds opened for 2022. Brooks Koepka opened at plus 2,000, obviously coming off the missed cut last week. That was largely due to the knee surgery the month before. Tim Schmidt advised that as well. Unfortunately, I already placed all my Brooks Koepka bets and lost all those. But you know, back on the horse with Koepka, four-time major champ, 13 top 10s in majors. He opened at plus 1600 for the 2021 Masters when those odds came out in November. So we're getting better value there. He closed at plus 2500 again because of the knee. So you know, it's not really going anywhere from that. You know, he's got a year to get healthy now. We don't know if he's going to play anymore. He played the Masters because he had been playing so well coming into it. So I like that value there, plus 2000. If he comes back healthy late this year, even early next year, and gets a couple top finishes or a win, that number is just plummeting. And then Colin Morikawa, you touched on him. You were on him this year. I'm on him next year, plus 2800. That will be his third appearance at the Masters, his T18 this year. Missed the cut in November. He opened at plus 3,000 for the 21 Masters, closed at plus 2,000. So we're getting good value off of a much better sophomore appearance. And then the story of the 2021 Masters outside of Hideki Matsuyama and Jordan Spieth, Will Zalatoris, the runner-up, in his debut at a very difficult golf course, very tough tournament. He opened at plus 10,000 last year. He opened at plus 3,300 for the 22 Masters. to me, that's still great value. He's already up to 27th in the official world golf ranking. He hasn't won yet, but he has 3 top 10s in 9 events this year, his rookie season on the PGA Tour. He still doesn't have full status. So, and he needs a win to qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Well, this guy, 27th WGR already, he can climb inside the top 20 even by next year. And that plus 3,300 will just fall. So it's not the plus 10,000, but to me, that's still excellent value on Will Zalatoris at plus 3,300.
Right on. And the next golf major is a PGA Championship at Kiawah Island Ocean Course. It's May 20th to the 23rd. I'm sure we'll do a specific podcast or at least a few segments around that. Hopefully we can get Tim back on the show or someone over there at Golf Week. So we'll keep you guys posting on all that. Let's go to the next segment, though. It's a new one. It's called Ripping Tickets. Not sure how often it'll be on the show. Hopefully really never again. It's not a very it's not a very fun thing to talk about, but last week I gave out the Denver Nuggets at plus 850 on BetMGM to win the Western Conference. Now they're up to as much as plus 2,000. That's according to recent data. I couldn't find the line, the BetMGM line as of today, but I think that was as of yesterday. They just took it down, but the reason why is because their second leading scorer, point guard Jamal Murray, suffered a torn ACL the other night against the Golden State Warriors. Really in garbage time, which is even more of a bummer, but he's the second leading scorer. He's plus 7.9 points and on off team efficiency differential. Denver's depth is going to help them here, and I still think they can win a playoff series. I like their backup point guards, Monty Morris and Campazzo. They improve the team defense, and this gives the opportunity for Michael Porter Jr. to step up. He's been phenomenal this season. I talked about him and his maturation and this season as being a huge factor in me handicapping this and picking the Denver Nuggets to win the West. He's going to have to bump up his scoring to over 20, if not into the mid-20s come playoff time. It's a lot to ask for a young kid, and it's a real bummer for people holding the Denver Nuggets to win the West tickets. I hope I didn't lose too much of you guys' money. It's not completely over, but, you know, the injury and the line movement is a good enough example or is a pretty good indicator of how detrimental this injury is. So huge bummer, but, you know, we roll on. I might even take it more at plus 2,000 just because, I don't know, every team is dealing with injuries. They got this one out of the way. They'll have time to kind of rework the rotations, the lineup. We'll also see if MPJ can take a step forward in production. They also have Aaron Gordon they picked up in the trade deadline. So I'm not completely ruling them out to win the West. Again, the line movement does make sense and correlate with how terrible that injury was. So, hey, my bad for giving that one out. I couldn't read the future on that. Had I known, I would definitely want to be taking the Nuggets at plus 850. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but
no, I agree with you fully. I'm kind of watching this line and waiting it out and try to get it whenever it hits its highest number. Like, the Nuggets made great moves at the trade deadline, right? Like, Aaron Gordon's a great player. He's fit in very well there. JaVale McGee adds some nice depth in the front court as well. Yeah, they're able to make those moves because of how good Jamal Murray's been and, you know, the, you know, luxury he afforded them of trading some other backcourt pieces and, you know, rebuild around Jokic in the front court. Obviously, you know, hot take or immediate take sucks, but yeah, I think there's definitely value in still getting that team if, oh, I don't, like, they're not going to go on a horrible slide here to end the season. So I think if just betting action and kind of public perception boosts that number up to the plus 2,000 range, as you said, there's certainly going to be value there because there's plenty of talent still on that team. And yeah, injuries can happen to anybody else.
Right. And I mean, the biggest loss, or why Murray hurts the most, is because he's their best shot creator outside of Nikola Jokic. He really doesn't create a lot of shots for other people. You know, his skill set and the gravitational pull that he has on the court just like inherently opens it up for the rest of the Nuggets to get off. But I mean, it really isn't. It isn't rocket science, and it isn't too much beyond, hey, MPJ, you just got to step up, and you got to get to 23, 24 per game, and this is your chance to take a next step, be one of those preeminent wings or a guy that we could be looking for in the future to make an all-star game as a forward, which is just a nightmare task in today's NBA with all the incredible wings in the NBA. But you know, he's got the skill set and he's got the ability, and he's looked great through his first couple of years. So we'll see. I don't know. This is the gamble that is futures. We know what we're getting into. Can't cry about it. Just got to move on, roll with the punches. Speaking of which, let's do a little BetMGM bugging.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. MGM bugging.
All right. What we got for BetMGM bugging, or at least what I have, is I have a couple weekend baseball plays. I was doing NBA basketball plays a couple days in advance or a night in advance, but I've kind of cooled off of doing that because of all the random injuries and absences in the lineup. It's too tough to handicap these things a day or two in advance. But because of pitching probables, I do know who's going to be starting, or at least who's projected to start for these weekend matchups. And I got two Sunday games, April 18th. The first one is I'm taking the San Diego Padres over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Three-game set between the NL West powerhouses, both of which are the top favorites to make it out of the NL this year. Obviously, the Los Angeles Dodgers are way out in front, but LA Dodgers have reigning Cy Young winner Trevor Bauer on the hill, and he's pitching against new Padres former Cy Young winner Blake Snell. Snell's got max motivation in the situation. He was pulled in Game 6 of the World Series early in the middle of a gem versus the Dodgers. He was also pulled in the first inning of the last outing, presumably to preserve his arm for this Dodgers series, but he was pissed. So we have two bounce back angles coming off of a rough outing and his second start of the season, Snell, and then coming off of that Game 6 in the World Series. Obviously, that's a lot more of a motivation. Dodgers lineup is just crushing it as usual, but they're 16th in OPS and 17th in weighted runs created plus and weighted on base average versus lefties. So they're a little more weak against lefties. Padres also have the second best bullpen ERA and WHIP. Trevor Bauer is 0-4 in his four starts versus the San Diego Padres with a 5.06 ERA and a 1.5 WHIP. Also, Machado is slashing. That was my NL MVP pick this season. Machado is slashing 588, 667, and 1.412 slugging. I really haven't seen numbers this high. He's got a 2.08 OPS, four home runs, and 17 at-bats versus Trevor Bauer. He rakes on Trevor Bauer, and they have four 300-plus batting average hitters in their lineup. The Padres do right now, not named Machado. This Padres lineup is top five across the board in just about all the advanced metrics, and this is without Fernando Tatis, so they haven't taken much of a dip without their star slugger. Next game that I'm looking at here, I would play the Padres. I think it's going to – they're at home. I think – it could get up to Padres minus. I'd play it up to minus 130. That's how confident I am in this. It's tough to say. I can't imagine they'd be minus 130 favorites against the defending champions who have the defending Cy Young, but that's what I'd play it up to. We'll see how close I am to the projection. Second game, looking at the Mariners The Mariners are hosting the Astros. I like them to beat the Astros on Sunday again, and I play it up to Mariners plus 125. We have Justice Sheffield versus Jake Odorizzi. Houston is 25-4 since 2019 over Seattle. So I think we should be getting a much fatter number than plus 125, but if it gets as low as 125, I'd still play it. Mariners are actually 17-13 at home since last season. It's a notoriously pitcher-friendly park. The current Astros versus Sheffield are slashing 227, 261, and 227 again. I almost feel like that last number is wrong. That can't be. Anyways, they have 5 hits and 22 at-bats versus Sheffield. He started one game for them against the Astros. Has a 1.5 ERA over 6 innings pitched. So he gave up 1 earned run in 6 innings. But in his 22 at-bats, he's given up 5 hits. 4 of those hits were versus Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, and the catcher Maldonado. Here's the thing, though, Eston. Altuve, Bregman, Maldonado, and Alvarez are on the COVID IL list because of vaccine symptoms. Which is kind of a trip. They got the vaccine, but the symptoms were so aggressive that they got put on the COVID list. So they're not going to be in the lineup versus Sheffield. It's going to make it much easier for them to navigate the Astros. Odorizzi got drilled in his first start for the Astros against the Tigers. Gave up 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 home runs, and 3 1/3 innings pitched. He's still working back from just a laundry list full of injuries from 2020. It's crazy how many injuries he had. So I'm taking the Mariners out to plus 125. That's my MLB. We'll go best bets, not locks. But that's what I'm liking this weekend. Again, both on Sunday, April 18th. You want to go over to Scope and Futures?
Let's do it.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, Scope and Futures.
All right. Scope and Futures. I know you got a couple future plays here and on the rank that you like. Why don't you talk about some of your NHL futures you handicapped and you're looking at?
Yeah, just got 2 here in BetMGM. They've put out they've had the Stanley Cup futures up all year. They've recently re-released, I guess, odds for the President's Trophy, and that's just regular season points leader. The Colorado Avalanche currently in first place, plus 115. To win the President's Trophy, first place in the regular season. That's excellent value to me. They're first in the league through 43 games. They have 8 games left against the Los Angeles Kings and San Jose Sharks. Both of those teams are bad. The Avs are number 1 in Corsi 4 percentage and scoring chances 4 percentage at 5-on-5. So this team is extremely good. Goaltender Philip Grubauer, who's probably going to win the Vezina Trophy, he's on the COVID list or the injured list. That's okay. They acquired goaltender Devin Dubnyk at the trade deadline, kind of to prepare for this. Kind of a surprise of last season, Pavel Francouz. He's been hurt all year. He's not going to return. So earlier this year, they acquired Jonas Johansson from the Buffalo Sabres to back up Grubauer. And then they went out and they went ahead and got Devin Dubnyk when they had a chance. Now he's going to fill in as a starter for until early May, they think. That's fine. This guy had plenty of starting experience. He can carry this, or not carry. He doesn't need to carry. He's going to backstop this extremely solid, well-built team for the remaining 17 games of the year. And like I just said, 8 of those games are pushovers against the Kings and Sharks. Plus 115 is good value there. And then to hedge kind of against that and hedge against the Avs in the postseason, I'm going to go with the Vegas Golden Knights at plus 750 for the Stanley Cup. That number is only so high because they're in the same division as the Avalanche, and the Avalanche are their top competition in the West. The Stanley Cup odds, they go Avalanche plus 400, Lightning plus 600, Golden Knights plus 750, Maple Leafs plus 850, Hurricanes plus 1200, Islanders 14, Capitals 14, Bruins 16, and you don't have another Western Conference team until the Minnesota Wild at plus 1,800. So, and all 3 of these teams are in the West. So they, whatever reason, have just bumped up the numbers on the Golden Knights and even the Wild because the Avalanche are so good. But say something happens to anybody else on the Avalanche or they just choke again like they did last offseason, or last playoffs, last postseason. The Vegas Golden Knights plus 750 as the second best team in the West. That's a good number for me. I like that a lot.
All right, man. Good stuff. Now let's get to the main event here of the Scope and Futures. I'm so excited. The 2021 NFL season. BetMGM dropped some lines here. They got division prices. They have conference winners. They have MVP. They have Super Bowl. And they have some team specials, not team wins. They have yes or no to make the playoffs, which, spoiler alert, I'm going to have one of those teams, a no, to make the playoffs in my best bet and go into the window. But let's start here. Let's just go through the divisions. I don't know how much, you know, mileage we're going to get out of each division per se. You know, if we don't have much argument or pushback on the favorites, we can just go through it pretty quickly. But we're going to start here with the AFC East. The favorites are the Buffalo Bills, defending AFC East champions, minus 165. Then we have the Dolphins at plus 300, Patriots at plus 450, Jets, who have the second pick in the draft, at plus 1600. This one's simple for me. I like the Bills to win the division based on, you know, what little we've seen out of the free agency in the offseason. We still have a whole draft and training camp and preseason injuries to fade. But based on what we know now, I don't have any disagreement with these lines and prices. No way I'd bet it, but, you know, I would pick the Bills to win minus 165. I agree with that number.
Yeah, I'm going to bet the Bills at minus 155. Like, I think there's value there. They should be way more expensive than that. Like, the Dolphins are probably the threat. Patriots are not. And a rookie quarterback isn't leading the rest of that Jets roster to a playoff spot. Not a chance. So, yeah, I think that's very comfortable for the Bills. The only thing that could derail that is a horrible injury to a player. I don't even want to put this on. So, yeah, I like the Bills at minus 155 to win. What is one of the worst divisions in the NFL once again?
Is there a chance you don't want to put it on that player because you're entertaining taking him as the MVP?
No, he is a popular MVP pick, but he's not going to be mine.
All right, we're obviously referring to Josh Allen. Yeah, the Dolphins plus 300. I don't disagree with them being the second favorite or second best odds to win the AFC East, but you can make a very convincing argument that their best quarterback is now playing for the Washington football team, and they aren't very excited about Tua. And I don't think it would be – I guess it would be a little crazy if they were to get another quarterback one way or the other, either through the – I guess it would be through the draft on that roster. But I'm going to bring this up again. I'm not excited betting teams' futures that are a little murky at quarterback. So a theme that you'll hear throughout this – segment here, but yeah, I'm passing on the Dolphins, and I agree with the Bills minus 165. Not going to make an official play. AFC North, we got the Ravens plus 120, the Cleveland Browns at plus 145, Steelers, defending NFC North champions, at plus 400, running it back with Big Ben, and then the Bengals plus 2200. It's obviously top heavy, and for good reason. Steelers, I think, have the best defense in the division for a second straight year, but I think it's also fair that they're the third best odds, comfortably behind the Ravens plus 120, Browns plus 145. My pick, not going to be a bet at the moment, but my pick is the Browns at plus 145. They're just stacked in the skill positions. Good pass, well, an absolutely elite, great all-time pass rusher, possibly, with Myles Garrett, and then Jadeveon Clowney. Taking a flyer on him. He's going to get a lot of one-on-one assignments with the right tackle on the opposing team because, you know, they got to worry about Myles Garrett. They have an elite offensive line, and as much as I've been anti-Baker and I didn't think he was going to be a franchise quarterback, he showed improvement last season, looked great, and looked like the guy at the end of the year. So I definitely lean to the Browns, but I'm not going to make an official play. Are you zagging on me at all?
No, with you here. Yeah, Steelers probably have the best defense, but the Browns, before the Clowney signing, they had addressed secondary with John Johnson III and Troy Hill. Tack McKinley. Maybe he can bring something too. And then they kept Hollywood Higgins in the receiving core. And hey, Odell Beckham's coming back. And you know what? Maybe that injury last season is going to be a good thing in the long run. Maybe he is a little bit upset about missing out on the playoff run. Maybe he's a little bit upset about maybe the rest of the team not thinking he's so important anymore. I think he has a great season, at least his best with Cleveland. And yeah, I'm behind Baker to help make that happen. I like that offense a lot. Browns to win this division at plus 145 is the best bet in the AFC North.
AFC South, we got the Colts at even money, plus 100, Titans plus 110, and then, wow, do we have a drop-off from there. Jaguars plus 1,200, Texans plus 1,600, probably should be more. God knows what's going on with the Texans. They are almost an impossible team to handicap right now, and I'm not going to talk much about them. As a matter of fact, that's all I'm going to say about the Texans. I'm okay with the Colts being a favorite. I really just don't like the line here either way, because if there was a little more juice on the Titans or a little higher of a payout on the Titans, I would definitely prefer them, but there isn't. And I do think the Carson Wentz thing to the Colts could work. I would say it's more of a coin flip, right? All the negatives and all the criticism you could have about Carson Wentz from his last year's performance is absolutely fair, but this has to be the best situation for him. Getting him out of the Philadelphia sports market, which is notoriously the toughest or one of the toughest in football or just in American sports. He's back with his former offensive coordinator, Frank Reich. Everyone's high on him. Everyone's high on his coaching, his schemes, and the offensive line's awesome. And the defense was pretty sick last year, but I'm not going to, you know, broken record, I'm not going to play it at this point, but I do agree with the pricing. Is there anything that's jumping out to you here in the AFC South?
Yeah, well, first, I'm going to disagree with you that about the Texans being impossible to handicap. They're very easy to handicap. Just do not do it. They're such a mess in every facet of the game. Just do not place a single bet on the Texans this year. And, you know, I'm going to disagree with you slightly, although you did hedge. There is a very real chance that Carson Wentz is just bad now, right? Like, yeah, I think the stepping stones are in place for him to salvage his career and turn it around. But, you know, at plus 100, the favorites win this division, I don't want to bet the Colts because of that risk that Carson Wentz is not a starting quarterback anymore. This is the one spot where I'm going to, you know, chase ghosts perhaps, but bet the long dog. I'm going to back the Jags at plus 2,500. 115 last year, sure. Trevor Lawrence is coming in. They acquired Marvin Jones in the offseason free agency to be his number one receiver. DJ Shark there as well. You know what? I'm going to place a small wager on the Jags at plus 1,200.
Can I give you a better line? And they don't, or an idea that I just thought. They don't have the line listed right now. But if you think that could happen, wouldn't the better play be Urban Meyer at Coach of the Year?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good one as well.
Whenever that comes out. Because, I mean, if you're high on the Jaguars and high on how the Trevor Lawrence thing is going to play out, then everyone's just going to just love Urban Meyer. And, if I'm a Jaguars fan, I'm excited to have him there, you know. Houston Texans, like we said earlier, you know, there's no team win totals published by BetMGM. They're yes, no to make the playoffs. It's yes, Houston Texans plus 600, no, minus 900. If I were handicapping the Texans, I'm looking at playing their under on the win total, as long as it's, you know, 4.5. I'd probably be comfortable going under on that one. You know, obviously, if it's an even 4, I'm just going to pass. I don't need to chase on that. But, you know, the Texans are appropriately priced. They're going to be pretty terrible this year. Moving on to the AFC West, heavy favorites, Chiefs minus 450, which, barring injury, is going to be similar pricing moving forward, unless the second favorite, Chargers plus 550, hit a home run with their new head coaching hire. Obviously, they had a home run with drafting Justin Herbert, the defending or reigning NFL Rookie of the Year, absolute stud. They're plus 550 again. Raiders plus 1,000 and the Broncos plus 1,800 to win the division. Do you have any leans on an underdog to win this one?
No, there's some value on the Chargers and Raiders to make the playoffs. Those are plus 260 and plus, or sorry, Chargers and Raiders plus 150 and plus 260 respectively. If you want, if you like either of those teams, bet that. Do not bet them to steal this division from the Chiefs, because that just ain't happening.
Yeah, I mean, you're essentially betting on a Patrick Mahomes injury, right? Or No, I don't know. You have anything to add to it? Go ahead.
And perhaps a Chad Henne injury too, because he showed that he can win games with his football team. So yeah, I had no interest in betting anybody to beat this team in the regular season.
Yeah, I am going to possibly take a stab on Justin Herbert as MVP. We'll talk about that in a second, right? But I would prefer that line, which is plus 3,000 over the Chargers to win the division at plus 550. Because if they win the division, I mean, say you knew the Chargers were going to win the division next season, what would you put Justin Herbert's MVP odds at that point? It's plus 3,000 now. If they win the division.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, plus 800? Similar to your Urban Meyer bet. Like that, that's a great example of betting strategy and, you know, maximizing your value. And yeah, if the Chargers outperform the Kansas City Chiefs and win the AFC West, Justin Herbert's your MVP. There's no way he's not.
All right, next division we got here, going to the NFC East with my Giants pulling up the rear at plus 450. The favorites are the Cowboys at plus 105, Washington, which I can tell you as someone who listens to a whole bunch of football betting podcasts, is everyone's sleeper. It's amazing. People are climbing over themselves to bet the Washington football team. And then the Eagles are plus 400. Have better odds than the Giants. That feels disrespectful. Everyone dogged the new Eagles head coach presser. They have Jalen Hurts, who no one knows what to expect. No one knows what to expect out of this coach. The Eagles at plus 400 is an outrageous line. Who are you going with the NFC East?
I'm going to go with small bets on Washington, Eagles, and Giants. And, you know, as long as it's not the Cowboys who win the division, you come out on top. But, yeah, I agree with you. The Giants are the best value here and probably no worse than the third best team. I like the Giants more than the Eagles. Saquon Barkley coming back. Daniel Jones, I know you don't like him. A lot of Giants fans don't have a whole lot of reason to like him. But, hey, they've fixed up a lot of other areas of that team. Now, hopefully he gets it together. He's going to have his safety valve in Barkley this year. I think there's a very good chance the Giants win this division, certainly better than plus 450. You got to fade the Cowboys, I guess, although the plus 105 is better value than they had last year when just everything went wrong. Dan Quinn's there as defensive coordinator. Maybe he makes that an NFL caliber defense, although he didn't do that with the Atlanta Falcons in 5+ years. So I don't have a whole lot of faith in that. Washington at plus 320. You know what? I'm going to steal a page from your book, although I had this before the show too. Ryan Fitzpatrick plus 15,000 for MVP. Hey, why not? Career year for the journeyman legend. The rest of that team proved last year they're good. Good enough to win with the scraps they had at quarterback last year. No offense, Alex Smith. But, yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick's the best quarterback that team has had in quite a while. He's good enough. 15,000 is worth a shot for me. But, yeah, Giants at plus 450, I'll agree with you, is the best bet for the NFC East.
Did you know? I feel like either – I guess it would be the market, right? BetMGM just making these prices according to what the market is going to, like, what the market dictates, what they're interested in, right? The Cowboys were 1-3 when Dak Prescott went down, and their only win was a 1-point win against the Atlanta Falcons at home. And obviously, it was just, well, not obviously, but it was one of the many Falcons games that they just choked away. So they're like, they didn't have a quality win with Dak Prescott in the lineup. And like, Mike McCarthy got better year over year. This plus 105 is outrageous. It's the biggest toss-up division, right? So I'm obviously looking at the underdog. I'm biased. I've said this millions of times, a Giants fan, so I'm not going to tout plus 450 for the Giants here. But I do think all the Washington love is ridiculous, and I'm trying to be objective about it. I'm sorry. Rivera is going to do with Fitzpatrick what the previous eight teams didn't? Like, that's what people think? Okay, how good is their defense? Because defense year over year isn't that predictive. Love Chase Young, love that secondary, but like, if they're put in suboptimal positions, you could definitely score on them. Ryan Fitzpatrick's career record is, he's 27 games below 500, and I kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick, I really do, but like, come on, they're the second favorite to win the division. Granted, they won it last year, but it was almost everyone else losing it more than them winning it. Anyways, I don't...
Well, all four of these teams could have won the division in week 17 last year. The Cowboys getting Dak Prescott back. The Giants are getting Saquon Barkley back. So those are the only two teams who are markedly improving. It's probably between the two of them for me. I like the value of the Giants.
NFC North, they have... Well, hold on, let me get there. NFC North... Packers minus 250, Vikings plus 450, Bears plus 500, and then the Lions plus 2,500. Bears plus 500 going into the season with Andy Dalton, right, under center? Isn't that the projected starter?
Yep.
Holy smokes. Interesting line. I guess I would assume BetMGM figures he's better than Mitch Trubisky, which I'm not disagreeing with. I'm pretty close to bringing the Vikings plus 450 to the window with me. That's the side that I would bet, if any, to win the NFC North. I did whiff big time last year in handicapping the Packers. They were much better than I thought they were going to be, and I thought they were due for some regression year over year, and that was kind of a popular like NFL gambler pick or handicap of the Green Bay Packers entering the 2020 season, but Mike Zimmer, I think, is going to bounce back, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. They're stacked at skill positions with Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, and Justin Jefferson. And also, they added Peterson in the secondary, Patrick Peterson. They added Dalvin Tomlinson on the defensive line. They get Danielle Hunter back. The young secondary has talent. Zimmer is a former secondary coach, and they're going to be more familiar with this scheme. And again, adding Patrick Peterson is huge, especially when you have Davante Adams in that division. So I would sprinkle the Vikings plus 450. What are you thinking about for the NFC North?
Yeah, that's the pick if you don't want to go Packers at minus 250, nor should you go Packers minus 250. So sprinkle a little bit on the Vikings. I'm just going to take this opportunity to say, do not bet the Detroit Lions. That has every chance of being an absolute dumpster fire once again. How they go from Matt Patricia, who failed in every conceivable way, to Dan Campbell, who seems like a carbon copy from my outside perspective, is beyond me. I don't like it. They've lost too much talent this offseason in their top two receivers and quarterback. And, you know, their fix seemed to just be go sign more running backs. So bet the under on the Lions win total as long as it's set above zero.
NFC South, you get the Bucs minus 125. The Saints plus 220. First year without Drew, out of the Drew Brees era. Panthers plus 550. First year in the Sam Darnold era. Then Falcons plus 1,000, which is just an outrageous number. Falcons have disappointed the past two seasons, but I don't think they should be this far below the Carolina Panthers. I'm actually kind of stunned, and I was stunned when I was prepping for this podcast, seeing that the Bucks minus 125. I don't hate that play. It's not a bet that I would make in a future right now. I'm not going to probably not going to play a division until after the preseason, and I know who's injured and who's not, but Brady won the division 17 times, the Patriots from 2001, 2019. Me and you were both saying heading into the season last year that there is probably going to be some growing pains with his new team, and they're probably going to be a better regular season team in 2021. Obviously, no, neither one of us had them to win the Super Bowl, but I'm okay with the pricing here. If anything, I would bet the Falcons at plus 1,000. That number is outrageous to me. What are you thinking?
Yeah, full agreement. I mean, there's just way too much talent on that Falcons offense in particular for a plus 1,000 tag, especially when it's nearly double what the Carolina Panthers are getting. Reminder, Sam Darnold's their new quarterback. So, yeah, the Falcons should not be twice those odds. Even the Saints at plus 220. Well, Jameis Winston might be better than he was with the Bucs. He might not. A lot of people put a lot of stock into that laser eye surgery. You know what? We didn't see him play last year. We also saw Taysom Hill play over him way too much. Maybe that's because he's just not very good. So the Bucs are going to win this division, but the Falcons are the bet here at plus 1,000.
All righty. And NFC West, my pick is the Los Angeles. I almost said St. Louis. That would have been just a huge whiff. The Los Angeles Rams at plus 175. That's my pick. 49ers are second favorites at plus 200. Seahawks is plus 280. I actually think that's the best value. Although you could make an argument that Cardinals at plus 550 is pretty good value. This is an awesome division. A lot of exciting storylines. I cannot wait to see Matthew Stafford play for Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, 49ers are going to be fully healthy, you would think, and during the regular season. Seahawks have an embarrassing playoff performance they have to bounce back from, and a lot of questions circulating. Russell Wilson, his commitment to the team in the future, and the harmony or lack thereof between him and Pete Carroll. What are you thinking about for the NFC West, though?
Yeah, San Francisco 49ers, they moved up in the draft, so they're going to take a quarterback at number three. So then you look outside of that, the team with the most uncertainty at quarterback, probably the Los Angeles Rams, and a oft-injured Matthew Stafford. Yes, he has the potential to do great things with a very good receiving core and Cam Akers in the backfield to help him out. But, you know, over Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, and Justin Fields, perhaps, for the 49ers. No. Stafford's probably the question mark to me there. I love the value of the Cardinals plus 550. They went 8-8 last year in a very tough division. Made some great moves this offseason. JJ Watt got a lot of the hype. AJ Green's going to be a number 3-4 receiver. I love that for the Cardinals.
Yeah, and their division opponents are the AFC South, which is a pretty soft division, and then the NFC North, which is pretty good. So AFC South, they get some cupcake teams in there, obviously. You said you like the value of the Cardinals. Do you have an official pick or a play that you're interested in?
Cards, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. We can breeze through these next leans, I guess. I'm not liking anything here, but the AFC winner. I lean Browns plus 1,000, and I lean Titans. Given everything that I said about the Colts, or granted everything I said about the Colts, I lean Titans at plus 2,000. Again, I'm just looking for some crazy payout future value here, but the Titans are plus 110 to win the AFC South, whereas the Colts are plus 100, so they're pretty close, right? But the Colts are plus 1,000 to win the Super Bowl, and the Titans are plus 2,000. I don't know. I find that to be an error in pricing. Titans played in the AFC Championship 2 years ago. They're an awesome team. Granted, they lost their offensive coordinator, but still have Derrick Henry, still have Ryan Tannehill. Their defense obviously can improve, especially the third down defense, but it can't really get any worse than it was last year. Those are my leans. Nothing I'm going to take to the window with me. How about you?
I'm going to go with the Browns at plus 1,000 as well. And instead of going a long shot, I'm going to lean more toward the favorite. I'm going to go with the Bills at plus 600. They were a win away from doing that last year. And you know what? They have a softer division than the Chiefs have. I think that helps keep the entire roster a little healthier through the regular season. And you know what? You got to hedge against injuries. I like the Bills at twice the odds of the Chiefs.
My NFC lean right now would be the Rams plus 550. I'm high on the Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay marriage. You know, he, like you said, Matthew Stafford was banged up, but he never had an offensive line. That organization has been an embarrassment for since before he got there, obviously. I think they were 0-16 the year they drafted him. And, you know, he was always getting beat up on. They never did a good job protecting him or giving him weapons outside of Calvin Johnson. But besides him and Calvin Johnson, there really just was never a good scheme, good talent around him. And I think it's going to be a home run pick or a home run marriage between him and McVay, especially at the Rams having, well, the best defense last year, awesome offensive line, and McVay always knows how to scheme up production of the offense. So we'll see, but I lean Rams plus 550. How about you?
Yeah, I like that. I also like, I hate to double down on them, but Cardinals plus 1,200. The team had a whole lot of hype last year. That's kind of seemed to dissipate this offseason, even though they've made some good moves, some better moves than they made last offseason. Lost of Patrick Peterson is going to hurt, but they brought in Malcolm Butler. Hopefully he can help replace Peterson. Obviously a lesser player, but Peterson missed some time the last couple of years as well. So I like that Cardinals team. I like Kyler Murray to make that stride he was expected to make last year and did at times make last year. They had that big home field overtime win over the Seahawks. Very exciting team, and I think we can expect big things in Arizona this year.
All right, the MVP. Right now, my pick is Josh Allen at plus 1,200. The value is Justin Herbert, though, at plus 3,000. That's the bet I would make and perhaps will make here shortly. Mahomes and Lamar won an MVP in their second year. It's Herbert's second year, and his rookie season was all time. That kid looked amazing. He has a great complement of weapons, has a new coach, which should be an improvement over the last coach. It's hard to say that this guy would be worse than Anthony Lynn, at least just schematically and wins and losses wise. You know, Anthony Lynn is a great locker room guy. The team loved him. The fan base loved him, but it just wasn't working, obviously, hence the record. And he comes in with a lot of expectation, but it's not out of control. Like, it's not nuts. Like, no one's expecting them to win the division or expecting them to overtake the Chiefs or be a title contender. So he could still be a pleasant surprise and somewhat match expectations at the same point. So I do have Josh Allen as my pick, but Justin Herbert is the best value and the only name I would bet on here. How about you?
Love the Justin Herbert pick. And yeah, the Josh Allen should not be outside of 10-1. And I like that pick as well. But for me, it's Dak Prescott plus 2,000. He was putting up MVPS numbers last year before he got hurt. And now he's going to have the added plus of salvaging a dumpster fire Dallas Cowboys team, which it turned out to be without him last year. So I like that. And then I'm going to go Matt Ryan at plus 10,000. I know last year, our preseason show, I locked in Matt Ryan as my MVP pick. Very wrong on that. May not lock him in as we get closer to the season, but right now, plus 10,000 for a former MVP is ridiculous to me. Working with a much better head coach, especially on the offensive side, Arthur Smith had his selection of job to take. He chose the Falcons partly because of Matt Ryan. I think, you know, Arthur Smith is going to be closer to that Kyle Shanahan style of offense than the Falcons have had these last few years. And I think, well, obviously the rest of the offensive pieces are there, especially if Atlanta goes out and drafts Kyle Pitts at number 4 overall. Love Matt Ryan at plus 10,000.
Super Bowl picks. I lean Seahawks plus 3,000, but I did that last year, and I feel stupid giving that out again. But they have the 15th highest odds. They have the third best NFC record last year. They've had 10-plus wins in eight of the last 9 years. They've won 4 NFC West titles. I think they're a live dog to win the NFC West, and putting them in one of the 7 playoff teams. And if they get the first round bye at home, again, big ifs. I just feel like plus 3,000 is a skewed number based on the offseason hubbub surrounding Russell Wilson and his discomfort with Seattle. When the ball is kicked off and, you know, everyone's ready to play, Russell Wilson's going to be outstanding next year, and he's going to play. It's not like he's going to opt out or hold out on the Seahawks. So it's just a lot of noise in the offseason, but plus 3,000 is a lean on the Seahawks. Bills plus 1,200 is another lean. You know, they're playing the AFC South and the NFC South. NFC South should be a little bit easier this year. Who knows what Sam Darnold's going to bring to the Panthers or the Falcons, how they're going to look with their new coach, or the Saints with a new quarterback. And, you know, they were in the AFC title, game last year. They got to get some pass rushing help. I would assume that's going to be part scheme. Hopefully they find someone huge in the draft, but who knows? And then the outsider or the long shot that I have would be the Chargers at plus 4,000 because, you know, they got a new coach. They're going to get Derwin James back. Joey Bosa is an all NFL pass rusher. And I, like everyone else, is high on Justin Herbert. So those are my leans towards the Super Bowl. I'm not locking anything in, though. Just talking about it because they dropped the lines on us. How are you feeling about the Super Bowl, Austin?
Yeah, just going to talk about some line movement in these future prices. March 2nd, so before free agency, the Chiefs are plus 550. They are now plus 450. They bolstered the offensive line is really all they've done this offseason. The Bucs went from plus 1,000 to plus 800. They retained everybody other than Antonio Brown. They added Gio Bernard. Don't have a backup quarterback right now, but they can add that in round 7 of the draft just fine. Green Bay Packers, plus 900 to plus 1,200. Still not good enough for me to take them. New Orleans Saints, plus 1,800 to plus 2,500 with Drew Brees announcing his retirement. Like you say, the Seahawks, plus 2,200 to plus 3,000. Cleveland Browns, plus 2,500 to plus 2,000. They're going to be my pick. I don't think that number's fallen enough after what's been a very good offseason for them. Fixed a lot of holes and, yeah, hopping on the hype train here once again with Cleveland. But, you know, to me, the best offseason of any team in football. Tennessee Titans, they went from 2,500 to 4,000, not interested. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 3,000 to 5,000. That's a big number for a team that started last year so well. They kept Juju Smith-Schuster, T.J. Watt, and Devin Bush both coming back from injury. James Conner left via free agency, but they're going to be able to upgrade that position in the draft anyway. The problem is Ben Roethlisberger. He's back at quarterback, and they don't really have a way around that unless they figure out Dwayne Haskins in preseason, and he comes in week 4, week 5, when Roethlisberger starts to fade. I don't know. Plus 5,000 is tempting, but not when the starting quarterback's the problem. The Cardinals plus 4,000 to plus 2,500. You know, that plus 4,000 lingered for a little bit after J.J. Watt has signed. I'm not sure exactly at what point it dropped so far. Green and Malcolm Butler were signed as well, already touched on. Probably not enough value for me at plus 2,500 anymore. So it's Browns at plus 2,000 is my Super Bowl bet based on these current odds.
Right on. And again, we're just getting into it because BetMGM dropped some lines. We're going to be looking at the NFL draft, which is in 2 Thursdays, April 29th. So we'll be trying to handicap that here in the Bet Slipping podcast. And you made a good point that I'm going to talk about and go into the window, which we're at right now.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Go into the window.
So this is the segment that wraps up the show. We talk about our best bets and just lock in our favorite picks, angles, handicaps, and lines here for the week. You had said something when you were just talking about Pittsburgh Steelers to win the division or win the Super Bowl. Just entertaining that future, which is you're hesitant about betting teams that have a murky situation at quarterback. Which brings me to one of my best bets here in the NFL. San Francisco 49ers, no to make the playoffs at plus 135. I want someone to explain to me as if I were 5 years old all the love for the San Francisco 49ers. Plus 135 to not make the playoffs. Their coach, Kyle Shanahan, everyone's in love with them, right? Just anytime someone criticizes Kyle Shanahan, the NFL community smacks him around and calls him stupid for possibly questioning the genius of Kyle Shanahan. Hey, he's 29-35 over the past 4 years. He's had one winning season, right? And since when is a team, now BetMGM doesn't have these lines up, but a few books do, the San Francisco 49ers are projected to win 10.5 games. 10.5. Since when is a team projected to win 10.5, 11 games, and they're trading up in the draft for a quarterback, right? Like, it's not even a secret. They don't believe in Jimmy G, right? Jimmy G wasn't that great when he was in the lineup last year. They clearly don't have anyone that could back him up, so they're looking to invest in their future. How can that team be 10.5, be projected to win 10.5 games? Their star defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, walked. He went to the Jets. That's not going to hurt them at all, right? They have a pretty weak secondary right now, or the secondary got weaker, and Richard Sherman's not there anymore. Now, Richard Sherman had a bad year last year, right? Guess who else had a bad year? The San Francisco 49ers secondary. So, I don't know. Are they going to be able to make up for the loss of Richard Sherman or the production they were counting on 2 years ago? I'll take the plus money, plus 135 with the San Francisco 49ers. I'll just regurgitate my baseball picks here in a second, but what do you got on your bet slip?
Yeah, I got a couple of yes, no, make the playoffs bets. I like the Cardinals, yes, plus 200. I like the Baltimore Ravens, no, minus 310. We talked about it. That's a good division. The Browns, we both like to win it. Steelers, you know, obviously, were very good last year.
Say that again.
Ben Roethlisberger's a problem.
You said minus 310? No way. Plus 310 to not make the playoffs, right?
Plus 310 not make the playoffs, yeah.
Okay, all right. You said minus 310. I was like, whoa, wait a second.
Baltimore Ravens, no to make the playoffs. Plus 310. Yeah, we like the Browns, Steelers, no. Probably getting a little slept on right now, even though Roethlisberger is the problem. And Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow are going to win a couple games. No way around that. Jacksonville Jaguars plus 350 to make the playoffs. Better value on the win the AFC South price. Raiders plus 260 to make the playoffs. I don't mind that at all. Chargers, yes, plus 150. I like that a lot. And Giants, yes, plus 250. I like that as well. No, their route is probably through winning the NFC East. Probably not going to be two teams from that division make the playoffs. Aren't two good enough teams in that division. So, bet the Giants to win the division. But I like these other yes, no, make the playoffs bets. We touched on them being available, and there's value. Definitely like the Ravens plus 310 to miss the playoffs.
Awesome. And just to recap my baseball picks, I got the Padres. Both games are being played Sunday, April 18th. I like the Padres, Blake Snell over Trevor Bauer and the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I like Seattle Mariners at home with Justice Sheffield on the hill playing and beating the Houston Astros with Jake Odorizzi on the mound for them. That's all I got from my bet slip here and going to the window. How about you? Do you have any more on there?
Yeah, to recap my favorite hockey bet, Colorado Avalanche plus 115 to win the President's Trophy. First place, 17 games to go. 8 of them are going to be very, very easy. And this is a team, they're first for a lot of reasons. Number one in advanced analytics. Got a Vezina Trophy candidate goaltender coming back from injury before the season's over. And they got a very good backup in place now. Plus 150 is great value for the current leader.
All right, peeps. Well, that's the end of the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Good luck wherever you're putting your money, whether it be the hardwood, the ice, the diamond, or if you're taking some shots at these NFL futures based on what we said, or against what we said. Whatever, we want you guys to make some money. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Thanks for streaming the Bet Slippin' Podcast. For Esten and I, we out.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.